Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Reese bassline sequence in Ableton Live 12 for that jungle and old school DN beat energy, but with a very specific mission. Crisp transients and dusty mids. So this is not just about making something heavy, it's about making something that punches through breakbeats, breathes with the drums, and feels like it came off a worn sampler rather than a sterile synth demo. The beat idea here is simple. In drum and bass, the bass line is often the hook. It's the identity of the drop. And in jungle-inspired styles, that bass line has to do a few jobs at once. It needs to hit hard, stay controlled in mono, and carry enough texture in the mid-range to feel gritty, unstable, and alive. If it's too smooth, it disappears. If it's too wide or too distorted, it starts fighting the drums. So we're aiming for that sweet spot where the bass feels tough, musical, and a little bit dusty around the edges. First, always start drum first. Load up your break, get the kick and snare energy in place, and loop a solid two bar section before you even think about the bass. This is huge. You want to hear where the snares land, where the kick accents hit, and where the ghosts and shuffles are living. The bass line should answer that groove, not ignore it. A common beginner mistake is writing a bass line in isolation and then trying to make the drums fit later. In DNB, that usually leads to clutter. Here, we want the bass to leave micro gaps for the break to breathe. Now let's build the Reese. Create a new MIDI track and load Waveatable. Use a dual oscillator setup. Saw on OSC1. Saw or a square saw blend on OSC2. Detune them moderately, but don't go overboard. You want motion, not haze. Keep the unison count low at first, maybe 2 to 4 voices max, so the core stays focused. For this style, the Reese mids should feel unstable in a musical way, like they've been resampled a few times, not like a huge modern supersaw. Set the filter low pass fairly low for the first pass, somewhere in the rough zone of 120 to 250 Hz if you're just shaping the synth tone. Then add a little subtle LFO movement to Waveatable position or fine pitch. Keep that movement slow and restrained. This is not supposed to wobble like a bass drop effect. It's supposed to breathe. That tiny motion is what gives the sound life and that slightly tired, late-night character. Now write the MIDI like a bass riff, not like a pad. In jungle and old-school DNB, the rhythm matters as much as the notes. Keep the phrase simple. Sometimes 1 to 3 notes per bar is enough. Use a root hit after the kick, a small tension move, maybe a pickup into bar 2, and then a longer note to anchor the phrase. If you want a bit more attitude, use a short staccato note as a response. The goal is to make the bass talk to the drums. Minor keys work beautifully here. D minor, F minor, G minor, A minor, all solid choices. If you want extra tension, sprinkle in a semitone approach note or a flattened fifth once in a while. Just don't overcomplicate it. Old school DNB bass lines often feel memorable because they repeat with tiny variations, not because they constantly reinvent themselves. Next, split the bass into layers. This is where the mix starts to get serious. Use an instrument rack or separate tracks and create at least 2 chains, a sub chain and a Reese mid chain. The sub should be pure and boring in the best way possible. Think sine wave, mono, no widening, no heavy distortion. That layer owns the low end. The Reese mid chain is where the character lives. High pass that layer somewhere, around 90 to 140 Hz so it stays out of the sub's way. You can even push the high pass closer to 110 Hz if the arrangement is dense. And here's an important teacher note. Think in layers of impact. Every note should feel like a tiny event. First, the sub arrives, then the mid character, then the transient edge, then the tail. If one of those pieces is missing, the bass can sound big in theory but flat in practice. For the transient, don't just crank one processor and hope for the best. Build it in stages. Add amp before distortion or saturation and shape a short, punchy front edge. Keep attack very fast and sustain moderate. Then add a light compressor or glue compressor. Use a ratio around 2 to 4 to 1. Let the attack breathe a little at 10 to 30 milliseconds, and release it in a way that grooves with the track. We're only looking for a few dB of gain reduction. Just enough to firm up the note. If the attack still feels too soft, tighten the MIDI note starts, shorten the note lengths a touch, or use a tiny velocity accent on the first hit of the phrase. You can even layer a very quiet filtered noise click or percussion tick on a duplicate chain if you want the note to speak more clearly. But keep that subtle. The drums should still own the brightest crack in the mix. Now for the dusty mids. This is where you get that worn sample era grime. Add saturator to the Reese mid chain and drive it until the tone starts to gain some attitude. Start around 3 to 8 dB of drive and use soft clip if needed. If the sound starts to get too sharp, smooth the curve rather than just turning it down. Then add a Q8 and shape it carefully. Cut some mud in the 200 to 400 HC area if the brake starts getting cloudy. If the top mids feel harsh or fizzy, trim somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz. And if you want that dusty speaking quality, try a gentle lift around 700 HC to 1.5 kHz. If you want more grain, bring in redux very carefully. A little bit of bit reduction or downsampling can add just enough texture to make the mids feel like an older piece of hardware, but too much will wreck the bass fast. This is one of those places where restraint sounds more professional than aggression. Stereo control is critical. Reese basses naturally want to spread wide, but the low end must stay solid. Keep the sub mono. Use utility if needed to lock the low frequencies to the center. Let the mid layer have some width if you want it, but stay cautious below about 150 HC. Always check the bass in mono. If the sound falls apart, the width is too much or the phase is getting smeared, in that case, reduce the unison spread, simplify the modulation, and get the mono core stronger before chasing more stereo excitement. Now we move into phrasing and micro timing. This is one of those advanced details that makes a line feel human and old. Try nudging some bass notes a little late against the grid while keeping the first note of the phrase locked in place. That creates a lazy, tape-worn feel without losing momentum. Also pay attention to note length. Shorter notes reveal more attack and less sustain. Longer notes emphasize body and motion. A difference of only a few ticks can completely change how the line feels against the break. At this point, think about the drums and bass as a conversation. When the break gets busy, simplify the bass. When the drums are rolling clean, you can make the bass rhythm a little more syncopated. If a snare ghost or break accent lands in a strong spot, place the bass just after it rather than directly on top of it. That pocket is where the groove comes alive. Once the core loop is working, automate it across 8 to 16 bars so it feels like a real drop, not just a static loop. Open the filter a little over the first 8 bars. Add a touch more saturation or drive later in the phrase. Maybe give the last note before a switch up a small reverb send or a subtle tonal lift. Keep the motion controlled. In jungle and rollers, too much constant change can make the bass feel unfocused. A few strong shifts go further than non-stop effect movement. A really useful move here is resampling. Once the synth version feels right, print it to audio. This lets you edit the transient more precisely, chop specific notes, reverse little details, or reprocess the tone as if it were a sample. That's very much in the spirit of old-school DDNB. Suddenly the bass feels like something with a history, not just a patch. After resampling, use clip gain, tiny fades, and careful start point editing to tighten the hits and shape the groove even more. If you want even more authenticity, check the bass against a break with fills and ghost notes, not just a clean loop. A bass line that sounds great in a straight loop can fall apart when the drums get more active. That's why the bass has to survive in a real arrangement, not just a test pattern. For progression, introduce the bass in stages if you're building a drop. Start with sub-only or a heavily filtered version, then open up the full Reese mids after a few bars. That creates anticipation. You can also use a silent bar variation, where the bass drops out for half a bar before slamming back in. That contrast makes the next hit feel much harder. And here's a final advanced tip. Don't be afraid to create two Reese characters. One can be tighter and more focused, the other a little rougher or wider. Swap them in at phrase endings or every 4 to 8 bars. That gives you movement without rewriting the whole MIDI idea. You can also add a very quiet FM-style edge or a radio-like parallel layer underneath for extra vintage grime. So to recap the core mindset, build from the drums, separate sub from mids, shape the transient in layers, dirty the mids with restraint, keep the low-end mono, and automate small changes over time. The magic in this style is not huge note counts or massive sound design complexity. It's phrasing, contrast, and pocket. If you get that right, your Reese bassline doesn't just support the track, it becomes the hook. Now go build a 2-bar loop, keep it simple, and make every note feel like it belongs in the record. That's the jungle. That's the old school energy. And that's how you make a bassline that really speaks.